Oh, I got two. Not one. Not one, but two. Double your trouble. Double two. Two for your money. Two guests today on the Rock Stops Here podcast. It is your lucky day. Thank you so much for supporting. This is How They Made It to the Top. My guest is Buck Martinez, number one. He is now in his 15th year with the Toronto Blue Jays as a broadcaster. He was also on the national scene. He was also with the Baltimore Orioles. 17 years, he was a major league catcher. He has just beaten cancer in his 70s, going strong, great guy. So Buck Martinez, number one. And remember Trey Wingo. He was on ESPN. And his ESPN career came to a close, but not his career. What's he doing now? We were walking and talking. Trey Wingo, Buck Martinez, and, of course, some of my stories. And some of my stories today, who's blown me off? You know, as a reporter, you don't always get interviews, and you try to be nice. And if I say I got two questions, I stay with it. But I have been blown off over the years. Not too many lately, quite a few in the past. Maybe I give you a little behind-the-scenes stories on that. Hey, remember, if you're in Tampa Bay, if you are in Pinellas, Pasco, Hernando, or Hillsborough counties, and you're in the need for replacement windows and doors, there's only one place to go. Lipton Window and Door, Newport Richey. They are the best in all of Tampa Bay. They are the premier window and door contractor. They will give you the best value. They use cost-cutting technology, fully trained staff, and customer service is their number one priority. Factory back warranty, hurricane protection, replacement windows, patio doors, double hung windows, metal storm panels. Hey, it'll help reduce your energy cost. 100% financing available. What more could you ask for? Lipton Window and Door. Go visit them at their showroom in Newport Richey, or give them a call, 727-372-2455. They've been in business for decades. Tim Lipton runs it. Lipton Window and Door. All right, let me get to Buck Martinez. Buck Martinez is still living in, he lives in the Tampa Bay area. He's done it all. And he's just happy to be. He was at spring training in Dunedin. He and his wife live in the Tampa Bay area. But like I said, he's done the national scene. He's been with teams like the Orioles and now the Toronto Blue Jays, year number 15. He played Major League Baseball as a catcher, 17 years, several teams. He was also a manager. He's done it all, and he's still doing it. And he's got a great outlook on life, and he's a good dude. Without further ado, here's my man, Buck. Well, it is an honor and a pleasure to talk to the one, the only Buck Martinez. You've been through so much, and you look fantastic. How are you doing, Buck?
Brock, I'm doing great. I feel great. I've been very fortunate. A couple years ago, of course, I battled cancer, and I got to the right place down in Houston, and I'm blessed, and I'm happy for another opening day. This is pretty awesome.
Yeah, there's something about opening day, even more than any other sport. Isn't there? There's just something about Major League Baseball, baseball opening day.
Well, you know what? We're fortunate here in Florida because we have great weather all the time. But for the fans anywhere outside of Florida or Southern California, opening day means that summer's coming, and summer's around the corner, so you have a lot to look forward to, plus the optimism of all the teams. Everybody believes that this is going to be their year. Everybody believes the players are going to have their finest season. Optimism is sky high right now all across the board for all 30 teams.
Has baseball at the major league level changed that much? I know players are faster, stronger, their training is a lot different coming up, you know, as youngsters. But in the end, has the game itself really changed that much, do you think, Buck?
I think it's changed dramatically. I think the game itself, now we teach individuals how to play the game as individuals, and then we ask them to play like a team. Years ago, we all learned how to play as a team. And now they play 6 months, 162 games, and all of a sudden they want you to play like a team in the postseason. I don't think we're training our players enough about team baseball because they don't understand how to handle a bat. You know, baseball had to legislate banning the shift when the hitters should have taken advantage of those shifts and hit the ball the opposite field. I don't think the instincts of winning games is as keen as it was in the 60s when I first came to the major leagues. I think then the winning thing was the only thing that mattered. Nobody was making any money. The only chance you had to make money was getting into the postseason. In 1976, when we lost to the Yankees in the ALCS, I made half as much money in that playoff series as I made for the entire year. So I think winning was much more important than.
Why? I want to ask you, being a former catcher, it seems to me a lot of catchers end up being managers and are successful. I can think of quite a few. Why do you think that is?
No, I don't think there's any doubt that it's because you see the game different than anybody else. The entire game is in front of you. Nobody else has that perspective. Plus, when you're a catcher, you hear the pitcher coach, you hear the defensive coach, you talk to the hitting coach, you talk every aspect of the game. And the catchers are the ones that talk to the manager about, is the pitcher losing it? Does the pitcher have good stuff yet? Is he still in the right position? Should I stick with him? Catcher communicates with everybody on the field, so I think that's why there have been so many great managers that have been catchers.
I was talking to a former major leaguer the other day, and he was saying that he thinks at the youth level, too much emphasis is put on the radar gun. And kids are really training to try to throw so hard. They're throwing sometimes year round, and it's causing more injuries. Do you think there's something to that, Buck?
No question about it. I mean, you look at the number of players that are hurt in the major leagues right now, and they're chasing velocity. There aren't many Greg Maddoxes around anymore, and there are no Jamie Moyers who pitched till he was 47, because everybody is throwing a pitch, turn around, look at the radar gun, see how hard he's throwing, and if he's not throwing hard enough, he's going to throw the next one harder. Nobody understands the art of pitching. We have a guy on our team named Chris Bassett, who rarely throws higher than 92 miles an hour. Last year, he tied Zach Eflin for the league lead in wins. He had 16 wins. He made 33 starts. He's a pitcher, and I think now, Tommy John said this a long time ago, the radar gun gives the ill-informed another tool to evaluate, and that says it all. Pitching is about disrupting the timing of the hitter. It's not simply overpowering them.
Now, for you as a broadcaster, I remember when you did national, you were on the national scene. You've also been with the Blue Jays for almost like two decades, pretty close now. Do you have a preference? Do you like being around one team all the time? Do you like being a national analyst?
I think I enjoy being around one team. I think, too, because you know that team so well. And, of course, we have a unique situation in Toronto because we're a national team. We only have one baseball team in all of Canada, so we have 33,000 viewers almost every night. They come and watch us, 33 million, excuse me, because it's the entire country that are Blue Jay fans. So, yeah, it's pretty special. I also take a lot of pride in not being a homer. I like to broadcast baseball games, and I'll broadcast if the Rays beat the Blue Jays tonight. I will point out why they beat them and what I really appreciate about the way they played the game. But I'm certainly not a homer, but I'm glad I'm with one team. I think it really gives you an insight as to what makes that team click.
Here's my last one. You made it through your cancer battle. What did you learn from that, Buck? Did you learn? Was it support? Was it more inner strength than you thought? I know there's a lot of people listening that might be going through different things, whether it's mental or physical. How'd you do it? What did you learn out of it, Buck?
The biggest thing I learned was how many people are touched by cancer. Until you have it yourself, you have no idea how many people are touched by cancer. Another thing, too, is you have to search and find the right treatment for yourself. And that, for me, was in Houston at MD Anderson. And the state of medicine now is moving along so fast that even when I got my treatment 2 years ago, it has progressed far beyond what it was then to this moment now. And I think the biggest thing is, especially for men are reluctant to go to the doctor to find out if anything's wrong. And I fortunately had a great doctor here in Clearwater. He had me take this test. The test revealed I had something going on. And then finally I realized I had cancer, and my wife was tremendously supportive. First thing she said was, we got this. It's just a matter of how we're going to attack it. And fortunately, I had my first treatment the 11th of May, and I was broadcasting again July 26th.
Well, it's an honor and a pleasure. Continued success in life. Thank you so much, Buck.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
I basically hit him up on this like 5 minutes before he did this podcast. 5 minutes. And talked to him, you know, introduced myself. He didn't know me. How about that? Just went up. Buck, I'm Rock Bradley. Got 5 minutes. Boom, boom. Sit right here. Boom, boom. How about that? So I appreciate that, Buck. Best of luck. Continued. Keep on going. Did you see? It's just a little bit outside. Bob Uecker, Milwaukee Brewers, 90 years old, still broadcasting, and he still has it. Like, he hasn't lost it. Sometimes you can hear, man, and it's like, okay, it's time to go. Making mistakes, delivery's not the same. It's time. Uecker still got it. It's incredible. 50-some years. And 90 years old. So, you know what I mean? If you can still do it, you know, he used to always throw batting practice. Hell, I don't know how old he was when he finally had to give that up. Unbelievable. So Buck Martinez, you are the man. All right, let me switch gears. ESPN, Trey Wingo. How many of you seen Trey Wingo on the air for years and years and years? I'm raising my hand. I know you are too. Trey Wingo. I think it was the NFL draft. Might have been the last thing, big thing that he did. But a lot of respect. And similar to me, it wasn't renewed. You didn't leave on your own terms. Same thing for me at Bay News 9 at the time. I was there, 18 years? But I ran into him, and he was busy, and he was heading. And he said, we can talk. We can walk and talk. And I said, all right, let's do it. So it's not that long, but it's just his career at ESPN, what he's doing now, and here you go. Here you go. Trey Wingo. All right, I'm with Trey Wingo, and he's been the man. He's been the man for a long time and still doing it. Do you still enjoy it?
I do very much. I'm here and doing some stuff with Amazon and Wonder for a new podcast I've got coming out in March called Alternate Routes, which is we take the premise of one moment in sports history, flip it the other way. How does that change everything? And so that's one of the things we're sort of doing, and we're looking forward to that. It's going to drop in March.
Interesting. Was this your concept?
It was a bunch of people's. We came together and sort of had this idea. People that I used to work with at ESPN, Kevin Frazier, guy I used to work with at ESPN a long time. He's going to co-host it with me. We're just really excited. Amazon and Wondery are behind it. Wondery's the biggest business in podcasts, and Amazon's the biggest business in the world. So we're looking forward to it.
Beautiful. How's it going at your network, the Pro Football Network, Trey?
Yeah, things are going well there. 33rd team's doing really well. Doing some stuff for the Stun app. Also do some stuff for the PGA Tour. Life is good. Everyone should have my problems.
Did you think that you would be kind of this busy after ESPN, or you really had no idea?
I wasn't sure how it was. I knew I didn't want to. I was tired of someone telling me where to be 5 days a week. That's the best way to describe it. And I just sort of decided to do this and that, and it's really worked out wonderfully. It really, really has. And it's just enough to keep me busy, but not so much that I don't feel like I don't control my own time.
You did an awful lot. You obviously worked your way up in local markets,
yep.
And then you've done anchoring SportsCenter.
Yep.
You were with golf.
Yep.
You've done, games.
Yeah.
Is there any one preference that you really, really enjoy? Do you like variety?
Football's always been my favorite sport, so I love doing that. But I do like calling golf. It's a lot of fun, and it's an addiction. You know, anybody that plays the game knows that it gets inside your head and you just can't stop. So, you know, I did the Open Championship for NBC last year in one of their alternate broadcasts. I may be doing that again. I've done a couple events for the PGA Tour this year, and I got a few more to go. So I do like calling live games. Live golf is a lot of fun.
Here's my last one. What is the best advice you can give someone young? Okay, maybe in life, maybe not even broadcasting, athleticism, whatever, Trey, because you made it to the top.
Well, thank you. I would say there's only two kinds of jobs you would want to do. Do something you love or do something that makes you a lot of money. Everything else is a waste of your time. Because if you're doing something you love, it'll never feel like work. And if you're making a lot of money, eventually you put enough away and do something you love. Don't get stuck in the middle. Have a goal one way or the other.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you.
Thank you, Trey. I appreciate that. Continued. Now, he's a little different than me, like where he said, I don't want anybody telling me where I have to go and at what time. I'm happy doing these different projects. I'm happy doing different projects, being guest on different shows, but I still wouldn't mind. Hey, if you want to tell me what you want to pay me and tell me full time where I got to be and where I got to go on what platform, I'm in. I got it. I still got the passion to drive. But all the success, continued success. Way to go, Trey. Thank you for giving me a couple of minutes. We did that while we were walking. Now, before I go any further, because I got some stories. Who has blown me off? And the difference between doing sports talk radio and guy talk radio. There is a difference, and I will explain. But if you are in the need, you are now, you need some new windows, new doors, whether you're a business owner or a homeowner. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, and that would be Hillsborough, Pinellas, Hernando, Pasco counties, give Tim Lipton at Lipton Window and Door a call. You can visit their showroom, or Lipton will come to you at your home or your job site. Schedule an appointment today. Lipton Window and Door, Newport Richey, 727-372-2455. And the good thing about Lipton Window and Door is someone will always answer the phone. Replacement doors, replacement windows, hurricane protection. You've seen the predictions. Oh boy, gotta be ready. And if those windows and doors are old, you'd be saving yourself in the long run. Fully trained staff, and they have factory-backed warranty. They are Tampa Bay's premier window and door contractor. Get you windows and doors replaced by hurricane season. Do it today. They have the best manufacturers with the best products at the most affordable prices. It is Lipton Window and Door. All right, so I was thinking, what am I going to do? Well, what can I tell you I got? Yeah, sure, I got stories, this and that. Oh, yeah. I will tell you this. I have two. I'm gonna shout out right now, Pat Donovan and Aaron Jacobson. And Pat was the one that started from WDA Radio in Tampa. That's an all sports station if you're not from this area. The sports station. And I was lucky enough. Pat asked me, Aaron was out last week. You want to do all 3 hours with me? In. Anytime anybody asks me on any show, in. Well, I won't say every show, but most shows. So anyway. And I went in, and it was interesting because I really hadn't done 3 hours. I've been in for an hour here and there on a lot of different sports shows, but not 3 hours. And I forgot on how, and I know it's like this. I remember the WFAN New York radio program director. You break it down. Most of you, if you're listening to radio in your car, it's usually around 20 minutes. You're not in your car for 3 hours every day going to and from your job or wherever it is, but it's just about 20 minutes. And it's the old adage, play the hits. If you're a sports fan and something big happened in, let's say in Tampa Bay, the Bucks game the night before, or the Bucks game, period, or something with the Rays game or the Lightning game or something, you know, blah, 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 blah. You get in your car, you listen to a local sports station from your market. That's what you want to hear. You want to hear. And so you got to keep resetting. Every hour, sometimes every half hour, the big stories, the hits, you got to play the hits, the topics, the same ones. So you're repeating. You try to say things a different way, but if somebody screwed up and a manager may have, you know, say Cash Lefton, somebody too long, or he pulled the plugs too long, too short, or so-and-so hadn't, you know, he's screwing up or he isn't hustling or this and that, you're going to repeat it again. How many times can you say it? But that's what you got to do. How you do. Now, I go over to Guy Talk, which is 102.5 The Bone in Tampa Bay. Thank you to my man, Johnny B, the Johnny B Show. And that is strictly entertainment. And you're not repeating. Like, you're not resetting. You're not, you do 2 hours and, you know, you do 1 hour and you don't come back the second hour and do the same thing that we just, topic that we just talked about. And there's no sheet. We do not say one word about what we're going to talk about on the show, and we just go. He's like, I'm in the belief of, like, The first time you say something, it's the best for response. I'm all about that. So it's interesting. There's a difference. But I want to thank Johnny B from The Bone and Pat Donovan and Aaron and Casey now, they're board up from WDAE. Thank you, thank you, thank you, both guys. I appreciate it. Thank you for asking me in. I thank you very, very much. It means a lot to me, man. And I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. All right. Now, I was thinking about this. I seem to get blown off going up and asking somebody for an interview more in the past when I was in TV, when I was a national reporter. Maybe it was because I was younger. I don't know. And I was trying to think the last time I got blown off. Let me give it something more current. I will tell you. Now, and again, it could be somebody was just having a bad day. They were busy that day. There's been certain situations where I've had a perception of somebody on a first encounter, and 80% of the time, it's usually that's who they are, but there's that 20% that something was going on that day, they couldn't do it, and it's been a total 360 the next time I met them or sat down with them. That has happened. I was at Super Bowl week in Vegas on Radio Row. Michael Penix Jr., he's from Tampa, the quarterback for Washington. He's going to go in this draft, the lefty quarterback. I'm from Tampa. I know he loves Tampa. I know he's formerly from Dade City. That's in Pasco County, this and that. So he was going around with his agent, and there were two or three other guys with him. He had sweats on. He was doing the thing. Now, I get it. Radio Row, there are radio or digital platform shows that have chairs, tables, they sit at. It's set up by the PR guy prior. I totally understand that. I understand that. I know my role. I'm walking around with my microphone, getting people off the fly. And you're going to have cases like this. So Michael Penix was doing his thing, and he was going around. And he was over on the left where there was CBS Sports Radio. There was Fox Sports Radio. There was also the NBC Sports with Florio and Chris Sims. He was in that section. And it was in the afternoon. And I saw him, and I said, he went by and said, "Hey, Michael, I'm from Tampa." And he didn't really look at me. Okay, I get it. He's a kiddie. There's a lot of people there. Okay. And his agent was right there. And I said, "Hey, man, my name is Rock Riley. I'm from Tampa, longtime Tampa sportscaster. I just have like just 2 minutes. Does he have 2 minutes?" And he looked at me and I said, "I'm from Tampa." And he said, "He doesn't have time." Boom. All right. Nah, he didn't have time. Boom. Blew me off. And it also wasn't like he was going to leave. I saw him doing a couple of more interviews after that. So, like I say, it wasn't set up prior. Most PR people I try to avoid because you got to do the bells and whistles. How many downloads do you get? What's your reach? Are you affiliated with any network? I understand that. The NFL Network PR guy, the Sirius XM. Let me just leave it at that. But anyway, I was like, wow, man, even I stressed like Tampa, just a few minutes. No, we don't have time for you. Like, we don't have time, man. No. Boom. All right, there you go. Michael Penix. That was number one. That was recent. Let me see. What else was I? Oh, I did get turned down for a credential request. Here, I can cover the Super Bowl. I can cover the World Series, MLB, NFL, this and that. I got turned down by the PR, the agency that handles Jake Paul's fights. Yep. I wanted to cover Jake Paul, Tyrone Woodley. which was in Tampa Bay, filled out the form, boom, rejected. And I was told by someone that's in that MMA boxing space, the PR firm or the one that handles credentials for him is very, very hard. If you don't cover, you know, and it's, but you don't have a chance to tell him I'm a boxing guy. I find it interesting what Jake Paul's doing. I really do. But I was like, damn, and it's here in Tampa. Boom, rejected. Okay, moving on. But back in the day, there was a stretch. I don't know whether it was the athletes themselves or it was just, I'm talking about like 1989, 1990. I'm old. I was a national sports reporter for FNN, Financial News Network, during the week, FNN Sports on weekends. I was based out of New York, but I was the East Coast reporter covering sports. I did training camps. I did baseball playoffs, you name it. Anything from basically the Colorado, Denver to the East. I went. I would fly. I would hire the, I wouldn't, the station would, but I would find somebody to shoot, video for me. And blah, 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 blah. And it was great. But I just remember there was a stretch around that time where Major League Baseball players, they would always say, I can't, I'm working now. No, I don't hear that anymore. There's different, you know, terms. You know what I mean? The narrative. Oh, that narrative. Never used to hear that. That's big now. But anyway, players. I remember Brett Saberhagen. I'm going to go way back. Brett Saberhagen, he was a pitcher. It was Kansas City Royals. Way before, he wasn't even pitching that day. You never ask a pitcher on the day that he's pitching. The only one that I know that gave a long interview was to a beautiful, drop-dead gorgeous reporter for Spanish Network that was owned by Bay News 9. Carleth, she's absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. Really, really cool. And I remember one day she's like, I'm going to come out to Tropicana Field. I want to interview Pedro Martinez. I said, oh, Carleth, you can't interview Pedro Martinez. He's pitching today. And usually pitchers, they don't talk on the day of their pitching. After the game, but pregame, no. And like I said, she's beautiful. And I looked down and not only was she interviewing Pedro Martinez, they had two chairs. It was a sit-down interview near home plate. Yup. There was another player. I remember one time, Carlos Delgado, and Carleth went out there, and he sat down in the chair. She didn't even ask him. The Bucks had a hotel in Orlando that the entire team stayed, and it was in this community called Celebration. And I remember Carleth showed up with her camera person. And she saw me and she said, I'm here to do some interviews for Bay News 9 en Español. I said, oh, great, Carleth. I said, well, here's the deal. We're behind this rope, this, you know, and if they do any interviews, if it's set up through the Bucks, it might be over in that one room over there. Otherwise, you got to do it outside here. But I want to go into the hotel. No. The hotel is off limits. That's just for the team. Next thing you know, boom. Carleth, I'm going in the hotel. You going in the hotel? How'd they let you in the hotel? That's how it goes. That's how it goes, guys. One of the worst blow-offs, and I think I told this, but it was probably about 2 years ago on this podcast, was Lenny Dykstra. Back in the day. I was with FNN. It was spring training. He was with the Phillies. It was in Clearwater. It was way before everything. He came out big chew, big chaw, big lump, chaw in his cheek. And I said, hey, Lenny, I'm with FNN Sports. It's national. I just got two quick questions. Do you think you got a minute? Two quick questions. And I always would stick with two questions. If I said it, I'm a man of my word. And he looks at me and he goes, nope. Oh, okay. No, I'm working. I'm working now. Okay, I got you. I got you. Maybe after BP? Nope. What about after the game? Nope. All right. Thanks anyway. He proceeded to take off his hat, get down on the ground, sat like Indian style, and then put his hands back like he was catching some rays from the sun right in front of me, even though he said he was busy and he was working right now. I thought to myself, that was the biggest disrespect that I've ever got in my life. Another time I was with 970 WFLA radio when I had just come down here, and I just had a microphone, no camera, nothing like that. It was Phillies. It was spring training. It was John Kruk. And I said, I'll tell you, because I ran into Kruk last year at the Trop. Wait to hear this. So I say to John Kruk, I said, "Hey, John, how you doing, man? I'm here in Tampa at 970 WFLA Radio. How you doing, man? I only got like two quick questions. And he looked at me, he said, "You live here and work here?" I said, "Yeah." "In this shit? In this heat and humidity? Huh, this sucks." hell no. No, I don't even know if he said hell no. He's like, "Not this sucks. You live here?" No, he blew me off. Now that the years have rolled on and you hear some of the party stories of back in the day with Dykstra and even John Kruk and da-da-da, he might have been sweating a hangover. He might have been sweating his you-know-what off. And he was in a bad mood. Because fast forward, God, 30 years later, and my friend Tom McCarthy, he used to be an intern at NJN, New Jersey Network, where I started out years and years and years ago. And he's the voice of the Phillies on TV. And he also does March Madness, and he did my podcast last year, and he remembers those days back at New Jersey Network when he was an intern. Incredible. And he's a good guy, great guy. And so I was waiting. I said, "We'll do it." He goes, "Tomorrow would be good." I said, "All right, we'll do it tomorrow." He goes, "What do we do?" "We'll do it up in the booth before the game at the Trop." I said, "Great." So I showed up early, and I was waiting on the third level as they come in, the broadcasters come in, and here comes Kruk behind him. Now, it was 30 years ago. I'm not going to say, blah, blah, blah. And John Kruk is like, here's my credential. And I said, "Oh, no, that's okay." I mean, he goes, "No, here. And I read John Kruk, and then Tom goes, no, he's with me. And he goes, "Well, the guy yesterday was really, scouring our credentials to make sure. I thought you were the security guy for credential." No, John, no, I'm not security guy, man. No, I know Tom. But isn't it funny on how the years go on? And he's a great guy. And he was laughing. And he was actually laughing. And I thought it was funny. And so there you go. There's a situation where he might just have been having that bad day in Clearwater. And then my all-time favorite, and I told this one time, again, about 2 years ago, real quickly. This wasn't a blow-off. This is one of my good ones. I'm working as a young national sports TV reporter. They're sending me to these different cities where I'm not the beat reporter. I'm not there every day. Even then when I was young, whatever it was, 28, 29 years old, I knew my place. It blows me away when somebody comes in, they're real confident, they ask the first question, another one, they're blowing everybody off that's there every day. It just blows me away. So anyway, the assignment was, my assignment editor in Los Angeles said, "Look, it's been 1 year." This is how long ago this is. Mike Ditka was the Chicago Bears head coach, okay? And he said, "It's been 1 year since Ditka had a heart attack. We'll fly you to Chicago. We want you to find out how Ditka's doing a year after his heart attack. I said, great. So make the arrangements, get my flight, get my rental car. Back in those days, believe it or not, you young kids, there was no Waze. There was no map on our phones. You had to use an old-fashioned map. You get your rental car, and it's good luck. I'd always meet the camera person, and in those days, they'd even have an audio person. And I would meet them at the site. I never knew who I was working with. It was never a problem. Blah, blah, blah. There was one case. But anyway, it would be nerve-wracking because my station is sending, they're paying for hotel, they're paying for flight, they're paying for rental car, and they're paying the crew, or they're paying a camera person. Back in the day, 88, 9, 450 bucks for just like, you know, not a long time, man. Can't be an all day thing, you know, an hour or two. But I had to get it. I had to get the story. You couldn't go back like, oh, I didn't get it. I'll do something else. No, I'm here. My friend, no. So anyway, I go, and it was in Lake Forest, Illinois. That's where the Bears had their facility. I get there. All that jazz. I'm there. Walter Payton's Sweetness was right outside the facility. I said, hello, hey, Sweetness. What a nice, he had a high voice. Nice guy. I get in. I see the PR guy. And I tell him I'm with FNN Sports. It was mostly set up. I'm supposed to get Mike Ditka for a few minutes here today. I'm a national reporter. He goes, oh, you're the national guy? He goes, nah, Ditka's not doing any one-on-ones today. So here's the deal. It's the weekly media availability. At the end, let the beat reporters get in their questions. And at the end, you can get in your question. And I'm like sweating bullets like, okay. So I'm minding my own business. Ditka comes in. Joe Blow from here. This one. What about the injuries here? Here, here. I'm doing what they said, but I don't want it to be like, all right, I'm done. And I figure now's a good time. And I'm in the back and I'm like, coach, listen, it's, he's like, who the hell are you? Where are you from? I said, I'm with FNN Sports. It's national. And he's like, what the hell is that? Financial News Network. What are you going to look at my books? What I'm doing in the stock market? I said, no. It's called FNN Sports. We are Financial News Network during the weekdays, but it's, he goes, what's your question? And I said, Coach Ditka, it's been 1 year since you had your heart attack. How are you feeling these days? And all the beat reporters turn around, like they give you that stare, like who's this guy, that type of thing, crotchety, some of them, you know. And Ditka looks and he goes, you know what? That's a good question. You son of a bitches have been here all year. You never asked me how I'm doing a year later. Let me tell you how I'm doing. I'm doing good. And you know what I learned? I was out in the golf course the other day and I was playing in a foursome. And a doctor was in our foursome. And the doctor told me, if you've had a night before where you haven't gotten much sleep, or you ate too much, or you did too much, don't tax your body the next day. Don't try to go work out heavy in the gym. Don't like rest your heart if you're, you know what I mean? Yeah. And good question. And maybe I had one more and I was like, yes. Then I see my camera. Did you get that? You were recording, right? Yeah. Okay. Boom. And everything was good. And then I would have the tapes with me. If it was weekend show, this was during the week. So if it was something during a game, like a post game of a playoff game, then I would have to go to a facility with an uplink, satellite, time, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to get too detailed, but anyway, I think that's one of my all-time good ones. That was one of my all-time good ones. I was sweating, and it was Ditka. I do remember, too, at practice, we were getting B-roll at practice, and I remember Ditka was driving around in a golf cart, and he came up to us, and he gave a thumbs up. That was his thing. But anyway, there was another story where my camera guy had a wrong he shot it in black and white, and it was for the NLCS, and I did all these interviews, and my station was so pissed off.
so pissed off. And I got all the way back from Wrigley, Chicago, back to New Jersey. And I'm like, what? It was in black and white. You got to be kidding me. Anyway, guys, listen, I want to thank you guys for listening. All right. Off to the Big Apple. I'll already be back by the time you listen. I'll have some stories next week from the trip to New York City. That's going to be something. My daughter's playing at Carnegie Hall on stage. It's going to be unbelievable. But anyway, it'll all be past tense for this. But listen, thank you so much. Trey Wingo, thank you. Buck Martinez, thank you. Lipton Window and Door in Newport Richey. They are the best at what they do. If you need replacement windows and doors, it's Lipton Window and Door. Their number to call is 727-372-2455. Their staff is fully trained. They serve Hillsboro, Pasco, Pinellas, and Hernando counties. Factory-backed warranty, hurricane protection, 100% financing available. What's really cool is Tim Lipton, he went down to this place in Bradenton, Southeast Guide Dogs, and was seeing how they take care of these dogs and what they do. Lipton Window and Door will donate $100 from every job that they do to Southeast Guide Dogs in Bradenton. But Lipton, only top quality windows and doors. They'll provide you with custom made windows and door solutions. They never compromise on quality. They're on Madison Street, Newport Richey. Go visit them. Or they'll come to you, Lipton Window and Door. Listen, leave a comment, subscribe, and I really thank you, man, for hanging with me on the Rock Stops Here podcast. Thank you. Talk to you next week.